Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/RedCircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by the Making Peace with Food card deck, which I co-authored with therapist Judith Matz to help you end chronic dieting and find joy in eating. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/card deck to order it now. That's ChristyHarrison.com/card deck. Welcome to Food Psych, a podcast dedicated to critiquing diet and wellness culture and answering your questions about intuitive eating and the anti-diet approach. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and I'm a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, journalist, and author of the books Anti-Diet, which is available now, and The Wellness Trap, which will be out in early 2023. And by the way, on this show, I avoid saying diet culture stuff like weight and calorie numbers, but we don't censor swear words or other adult language, so listener discretion is advised. Hey there, welcome to this episode of Food Psych. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and today I'm here to discuss what to do when your family makes diet culture comments. With the holiday season upon us, it's likely that you'll be hearing some diet talk at family meals pretty soon, so I'll answer an audience question about how to handle it. Before I do, a few quick announcements. This episode of Food Psych is brought to you by Uncommon Goods. If you want to avoid boring, basic, and bland gifts this year, Uncommon Goods has got you covered. They're here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for everyone on your list. Whether you're shopping for your secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. These great products are often made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. I got my husband a holiday gift there, and I actually also found a perfect gift for our anniversary. And both are really special to us and made by independent artists. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/foodpsych. That's uncommongoods.com/FOODPSYCH for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. This episode is also brought to you by the Making Peace with Food card deck, which I co-authored with therapist Judith Matz to help you end chronic dieting and find joy in eating. The deck contains 59 anti-diet strategies to help you break free from the diet mindset and find peace with food. Use these cards to help support you in rejecting diet culture, honoring your hunger, finding self-compassion, navigating emotional eating, and lots more. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/card deck to order it now. That's ChristyHarrison.com/card deck. Now, without any further ado, let's get into this week's question. It's from Stella, who writes, "Dear Christy, thank you so much for this space on your podcast and for your book, Anti-Diet. I just finished reading it and it was so eye-opening. I went through my bookshelves and pulled out all the diet culture books. I was surprised at how many I had. Paleo, keto, healthy habits, quitting sugar, plant-based, you name it. My mother modeled and still does disordered eating, and I've had my own journey of trying everything to shrink my body. There's so much more to life than being obsessed with your size and shape and what you eat or don't eat. Your book and podcast have been liberating from the life thief. My question is, how do I approach comments from family members that are diet culture-ish? I'm trying to teach my daughter, now 11, about body acceptance, but it's sometimes derailed by family and friends who have their own issues. Signed, Stella, concerned mama and recovering disordered eater / exerciser." So thanks, Stella, for that great question. And before I answer, I'll just give my standard disclaimer that these answers and this podcast in general are for informational and educational purposes only, aren't a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice, and don't constitute a provider-patient relationship. Also, this is just my take as one dietitian and journalist, and I hope you'll seek out other perspectives and consult your own inner compass as well. So having a family that makes diety comments is really so common and understandable, given that we all live in diet culture, right? So you're definitely not alone. I know many, many people who've gone through the same issue. And, you know, personally, for me as a anti-diet dietitian and journalist who has friends and family members who know what I do for a living and, you know, I've talked about my work with them, unfortunately, that stuff still comes up, right? Still in my life, the people who know what I do for a living will occasionally make these diet culture comments, and I have to navigate it as just a human living in the world. And, you know, I myself was on the flip side of that, right? Like years ago, I actually made some comments, some diety comments to the friend who introduced me to the weight inclusive paradigm more than 12 years ago now. And so now here I am over a decade later as a major proponent of the anti-diet approach. So I've been on both sides of this, and I think I'm kind of living proof that people can evolve in their views, right? But it really does take time, and often people just aren't going to be open to challenging their own internalized diet culture beliefs. I know I certainly wasn't when my friend first brought it up to me, and it wasn't until a few years later when I started working with eating disorders and really took a hard look at my own history of eating disorders and disordered eating that I was really able to open up to anti-diet concepts and dig into the science for myself. But my friend had planted that seed, right, which made me more receptive when I finally did encounter that paradigm at a time when I was in strong recovery myself and really ready for those ideas. So right now, Stella, your family members might be really entrenched in their diet culture beliefs and closed off to other views, just like I was back then, or so many of us probably have had that experience, right? And you can't actually change people's minds when they're in that place, but you might be able to plant a seed for them. And that effort alone is huge, even if the seed never grows for them, which it may not, because some people may always stay wedded to diet culture for many understandable reasons. It's really hard to break away from in this society we live in, and so we have to give people grace for their process and their path as well. I've found over the years that the most effective way to plant that seed with family and friends generally isn't to debate them on the science and try to win them over intellectually, but instead to speak to them on an emotional level. Because, of course, your family loves you and your daughter, right? So you can use that as the jumping off point, and they want to do their best to support you. So you might find a quiet moment for a one-on-one chat or have a phone conversation ahead of time or even write an email. And you can say something like, you know, "I've really struggled in my own relationship with food and my body, and I don't want my daughter to struggle like I did. I found that one huge way to help support her and me in feeling at peace is to avoid discussing diets or making negative comments about higher weight people. So I'd really love it if you could, you know, support us in that and refrain from talking about those things when we're together." Framing it in this way puts the emphasis on your experience and helps keep them from reacting in a defensive or argumentative way. It's saying, you know, "Here's what I've been through. Here's what I'm wanting for my daughter. Here's how you can help us," right? Without sort of pointing the finger or making them feel blamed or shamed. That said, you know, it may not be easy for them to honor this boundary because, unfortunately, talking about weight and dieting can feel important and necessary to many people, right? Diet culture has instilled the belief in pretty much all of us that we're quote unquote bad if we eat or weigh too much, right? And that we need to atone for our supposed food and size related sins by flagellating ourselves and conspicuously avoiding certain foods and talking about that, right? And that's especially true for people in larger bodies who bear the brunt of weight stigma in this culture. And of course, it's compounded for people with other oppressed identities like being disabled, person of color, LGBTQ, et cetera, et cetera. So if your family members seem to have trouble refraining from diet talk or maybe seem reluctant to even try, see if you can approach them with a little empathy. You might say something to the effect of, you know, I love you and I want you to feel like you can talk to me about anything. And I know you have your own feelings about eating and weight, but this is just one subject we need to avoid right now while my daughter and I are both learning how to feel more at peace with food in our bodies. And by avoiding it, you'll help us more than you can imagine. So again, it's putting the emphasis back on you and your experience and your daughter's experience and giving them empathy and compassion for where they're at, right? Then once you've set that boundary, you'll probably need to reinforce it again and again, reminding people of your request whenever they slip and talk disparagingly about larger bodies or make some shaming comment about food, because often people really don't see that what they're doing is diet talk, right? They might not think that celebrating their own weight loss is sending a message of weight stigma to other people around them, right? But if you can just gently and consistently reinforce that boundary, it'll help your family understand that changing the way they talk about food and weight is really important for your healing and for your daughter's well-being. And in time, that could potentially lead them to start questioning the diet culture paradigm for themselves. Although, again, that's not really the goal. The goal is just to kind of keep the focus on you and your daughter and what you need and what would be helpful, you know, for them to say or not say to support that. And I think that's the best you can hope for, right? Because, again, we're never going to change someone's mind who isn't open to being changed. But if we can create a situation that's supportive of our needs as well and, you know, honors the fact that they might be in a different place, I think that's kind of the best we can do. That all being said, if you're not as close with these family members and aren't really comfortable having such a direct conversation and setting boundaries, you might try something simple like just abruptly changing the subject whenever diet talk comes up. So if they say something negative about the food on the table, for example, and how they're going to have to, like, quote unquote, work it off or whatever, you can be like, oh, speaking of work, I was meaning to ask, how is your new job, right? Or bring up something else that they may be excited about, you know, something that's new in their life, something that would distract them from the diet talk and get them to stop, right? And help them move on to a different subject. Then when you're away from them, when the meal is over, the visit is over, and you're with your daughter, you can, you know, debrief with her and see if she even noticed the diet talk. Sometimes kids don't even notice that stuff, right? And you don't want to necessarily bring it up and make her super aware of it. But if she did notice it, you can explain that other family members might be doing and saying things about food and bodies that are kind of negative. And in your house, you believe that all foods and all bodies belong and are worthy, or whatever else you want to reinforce to her, right? Just sort of communicating the message that, you know, other people might think this way, but in our house, this is what we believe. This is what, you know, this is the kind of respect and acceptance we want to give to all foods and all bodies. One more thing to consider when going into these family situations is that if you have a partner or a friend or a sibling you're close with who will be there when you go to see other family members, it can be helpful to talk with them ahead of time about how you're feeling and see if they'd be willing to help you navigate it, you know, if and when diet talk comes up at a larger family gathering. Having someone to help you speak up and set or reinforce those boundaries, or even just being able to elbow each other or squeeze each other's hand whenever someone says something diety, can go a really long way. I know sometimes partners and close family members can be caught up in their own diet culture stuff, so it may not be possible right now for you to have an anti-diet ally at those events. But In time, with enough of these individual conversations, you might find that you end up with at least one person, if not a number of people, who can help you keep diet culture at bay during family gatherings and give you that support that you need. I hope that helps give you a place to start, Stella, and thanks again so much for the great question. If you want to submit your own question for a chance to have it answered either here or in my Food Psych Weekly newsletter or both, you can go to ChristyHarrison.com/questions. That's ChristyHarrison.com/questions. That's our show for today, and I want to thank you so much for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, I'd be so grateful if you'd take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can see all the places to subscribe at ChristyHarrison.com/subscribe. That's ChristyHarrison.com/subscribe. This episode was brought to you by the Making Peace with Food card deck, which I co-authored with therapist Judith Matz to help you end chronic dieting and find joy in eating. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/card deck to order it now. That's ChristyHarrison.com/card deck. For more help healing your relationship with food, grab my free audio guide, 7 Simple Strategies for Finding Peace and Freedom with Food. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/strategies to get it. That's ChristyHarrison.com/strategies. To get full show notes and a transcript of this episode, go to ChristyHarrison.com/300. Oh, right. This is the 300th episode. I totally forgot to mention that up top. And to get the transcript, just scroll down to the bottom of the page and enter your email address. A big thanks to our editor and sound engineer, Mike Lalonde, community and content associate, Vinci Chui, and administrative assistant, Julianne Watasik, for helping me out with all the moving parts that go into producing this show every week. Our album art was photographed by Abby Moore Photography, and the logo was designed by Melissa Alam. Our theme song was written and performed by Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs. I'm your host and producer, Christy Harrison. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay psyched.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.